we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, this is Bob Arthurs, Pastor of Merritt Assembly of God, and we want to welcome you to Wednesday, August the 22nd. I want to say happy birthday to a family member that if I don't say happy birthday to, they won't hear it. But, you know, you don't want a little birdie coming saying, did you know that they didn't wish you happy birthday to you? So anyway, they're a long ways away. They don't get WMIE on their radio dial, but happy birthday, Jerry. We love you and appreciate you. And we do want to say thank you today to the fine folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but we are in the throes of summer. It's been very hot, and air conditioning people are very busy. Don't let that busyness subject you to dealing with an air conditioning repair company that might be less than honorable. You don't want somebody taking advantage of you. If you're here in central Brevard County, you can call the folks at 321-759-3284. That's Creative AC Solutions. They not only live the word, they study the word, they want to be the best that they can be. And they want to represent Jesus well. So Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. Give them a call. Like I said, there's a lot of broken ACs right now. And if yours happens to be one of them, give them a call. See how quickly they can get out there to take a look at your unit, get you up and running at a fair and reasonable price. And you will meet a brother in Christ. How's that? So 321-759-3284. We have been talking for a number of times. We're getting close to the end. This week will probably end this particular study on You Are the Light of the World out of Matthew chapter 5. But we have been talking about Ephesians chapter 5 and where it's described various manners in which Christians are supposed to walk, how they are supposed to do life. In verse number 2, we are supposed to walk in love. In verse number 8, we are supposed to walk as children of light. And then in verse number 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." And that word circumspectly means to walk diligently or exactly or perfectly. We talked about how you want to make sure that you put your foot in exactly the right place. I was scrolling through Facebook the other day. I really don't scroll that much. Normally, if I'm scrolling, it is because I have tried to go to sleep at night and am not succeeding at that, and so then I'll scroll through my Facebook. I normally will look and see, you know, whose birthday it is and wish them a happy birthday, whose anniversary, wish them a happy anniversary, things that some pages that I follow and things like that. But I watched a video of a person who records themselves not walking circumspectly. They video themselves taking very, very high risk steps where if they make one misstep, their life is over. And for them, they get some sort of adrenaline rush out of that or whatever. I don't know, but I do know this. I know that my spiritual life is nothing to toy around with. Your spiritual life isn't anything to toy around with. And so we need to not live foolishly. We should not take our journey and treat it carelessly. We need to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's where we have touched on thus far. Verse number 17 says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." And that's as far as we're going to get in Ephesians chapter 5. But I don't know if we'll get through all of those passages today or not. From that point on, it deals with wives' relationships with their husbands, husbands' relationships with their wives, and children, and dealing with parents, Christ loving the church. And so you go on down into chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor your father and your mother." So if you want to know how relationships are supposed to work, you can look at the Word of God, because God's an expert on relationships. He knows what destroys them, and he knows what edifies them. He knows the dangers of flippant relationships, and he knows the blessings of covenant relationship. He knows the advantage of having relationships of honor and the consequences of dishonorable relationships. I don't want to live a dishonorable life. You can do an honorable thing in a dishonorable way and miss out on the honor altogether. You don't want to do that. There's a lot of people who make that mistake. They think that because they are doing an honorable thing, that there's going to be honor associated with it, even though they are doing it for the wrong motives or in a dishonorable way. And that's not the way God operates. If we are going to be people of honor, we need to be doing honorable things in an honorable manner, and the honor goes to God, the glory goes to God, not to ourselves. So let's look at verse number 17, because this has to do with walking circumspectly. This has to do with walking as children of light. And it says there in verse number 17, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And up in verse number 16, that word that is translated fools up there, it means to do not walk as people who are without wisdom. Okay, a fool, biblically defined, is not a person that has upset me and I want to label them a fool, and so I call them a fool because they made me mad. That's not it. A fool is biblically defined. It is a person who is walking without the wisdom of God. They are walking without heavenly wisdom. They may be wise according to the ways of this world, but may be ignorant of the ways of heaven. And therefore, they would be living as if there are no eternal ramifications to their actions here on earth. So, with that being said, let's look at what it says. "Therefore, do not be unwise." Being unwise is a, you know, quite frankly, boiling it down to the simplicity of this statement, it is a state of being. It is not just unwise actions. It is people who are missing out on the wisdom of God. You can go to Proverbs and you can see how much God desires for people to be wise. Wisdom is crying out, making itself known. Who will come and understand the fear of the Lord? Who will come and understand the wisdom of God? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is also the beginning of wisdom. It is waiting for someone to say, you know what? I don't want to continue to make the same mistakes that everybody else makes. I had a situation earlier this year where I had three different people that came out and looked at a situation. Each one of them treated a symptom of the issue, but not one of those three ever stopped to ask, what is causing the issue that I am dealing with? They were missing the root cause. I called a fourth person, and the very first question that they asked. It started out as a statement, and they said, "Well, Pastor, I understand that, you know, why they would have done this, and I understand, you know, that they did this, and I understand that they did this over here. But the question I have is, what is causing those symptoms to occur?" This wasn't a physical thing. It was as far as health goes, it was a piece of equipment. And the very first thing that this person asked is, what is causing those symptoms? What is the root problem? What is the foundational problem? And come to find out, I had spent a whole lot of money that I could have resolved the issues that we were dealing with in a much simpler manner. I was ignorant of what that solution was, but when I began to explore things, when I began to examine them, I discovered that there was a very inexpensive solution to the problem, and things have worked a whole lot better since then. We, as children of light, we're not supposed to be living our life exacerbating the problems that we deal with by continuing to live without the divine wisdom that God so readily makes available to us. If we will cry out to Him, if we will apply our heart to Him to understand the wisdom of God and how awesome He is, then we will find that we are living not as unwise, but walking with the wisdom of God. And when we walk in wisdom, it is not just going to benefit us, it is going to benefit other people. So before I came into the studio today, I was having my devotions, and there was I'd read in one gospel yesterday. I was in another gospel today, and there was a thought that occurred to me when I read something yesterday. It was about the masses heard about Jesus being in the area, and they had the desire just to touch the hem of His garment. This was not the story about the woman who had touched the hem of His garment. And so yesterday, when I was reading and saw about the multitudes doing that, I said, I wonder who was the inspiration that touched the other. Was it the multitudes that inspired the woman, or was it the woman who inspired the multitudes? And so today I was in the Gospel of Mark, and I read in one chapter, where I think it was probably chapter 4 or 5, and where the woman interrupted Jairus' daughter's miracle to get her own miracle by touching the hem of His garment. And then I got to chapter 6, and it talked about people who were bringing the sick and the infirmed and the afflicted from all over the region so that they could just touch the hem of His garment. And I realized that because of the boldness of this woman and the living in faith, that she had become an inspiration to people throughout the region, to the point that she was not the only one who grabbed hold of the hem of His garment and found healing for her body. Others had heard about it, and they said, "You know what? Can I get somebody to help carry me to where He's at? I want to go. I believe that if I can touch the King of Glory, that there's going to be healing that is imparted to my body." At Merit Assembly of God, we still believe in healing. We believe in healing when the diagnosis comes. We believe in healing when the symptoms persist. We still believe in healing. And you say, "Well, why are you on this little rabbit trail? Why are you talking about this?" Because I believe that somebody in this community will benefit by those trailblazers who say, "You know what? I've lived enough of my life without the wisdom of heaven. I don't want to live any more of my life without the wisdom of heaven. I want to be an inspiration to others that they might experience the supernatural presence of God in their lives as well. Is there anybody out there that's made enough mistakes and you say, you know what, I'm not looking to repeat mistakes, I'm looking to minimize mistakes. And, you know, there's way too many people who go around the mountain over and over and over and over again, and God is looking for some people who will say, you know what, just because all of humanity is on this spiritual merry-go-round doesn't mean that I need to be on that. I'm going to advance in the kingdom of God. I'm going to redeem the time because the days are evil. It goes on and it gives the alternative to living a life without the wisdom of God, and that is this: to understand what the will of the Lord is. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I have some things to say about that, but I first of all want to take you back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. There's a whole massive teaching. I'm not going to get off on the whole teaching on understanding the will of the Lord, but it says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Another translation says, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we say, you know what, I'm no longer going to live without the wisdom of God manifesting in my life, we say we're going to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. Okay? There's already been the sacrifice unto death. That's what Jesus did. Now God is looking for people who will live for him, who will live under his commands, under his provision, under his protection, under his direction. And that involves a completely different mindset. It says, I'm not going to conform to the foolishness of this world. I'm not going to be conformed to this world, but I'm going to be transformed. Transformation begins when the Word of God not only touches our ears, but it touches our mind and it changes our heart, and therefore it changes our life. If you want to change, you've got to change the way that you think. So you've heard me talk about the goal that I've had to lose weight, not massive amounts of weight, but just I need to shed a few pounds. And what has been so frustrating over the past few years is that all of the things that used to work haven't worked anymore. So there's been plenty of exercise. It's not that I'm a stationary individual. There's some days that I walk as many as 8 miles. Burn 3,000-5,000 calories. So I'm not a couch potato. I get some activity in my life, but the things that I had done to lose weight in the past hadn't worked this time. And so I had to change my mindset, change the way that I think. And that meant giving up some things that I was pretty fond of, like potatoes, like mashed potatoes and gravy. I absolutely love those, but my body wasn't responding. And you know what happened when I eliminated most of my bread? I eliminated the potatoes. I eliminated the soft drinks and things like that. When I eliminated or cut those way, way back, all of a sudden, some of those pounds said, bye-bye, see you later. And it didn't mean that I didn't continue to pursue the level of activity that I have in my life. I still do that. I mean, if you just cut back on your caloric intake and you don't burn as many calories, guess what? You're not going to see any progress there either. So I've been intentional about upping my activity and changing the amount of those carbs that I was taking in. It doesn't mean I'm on a carb-free situation. I just had a change in mindset, and it brought about a change. Well, it goes on. It says that when we are have our mind renewed, it brings about transformation with the purpose. Transformation for change for change's sake is just change. But transformation, because of a new way of thinking, brings us to the point where it is about purpose, and that is that we can prove, we can verify, we can live, we can testify what the good and acceptable, perfect will of God is. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, that's where we all want to live. We want to live in that perfect will of God. We want to live in that place where the life that we lead or life that we live is a good life, and it's acceptable unto God. And so to do that, we got to understand what the will of God is. Many people make the mistake of looking for the specific will of God while rejecting the already revealed will of God. And that's going to be a very frustrating thing to experience, because you could have the right specifics, but if you go about it living without the wisdom that God has made available to us, you're not going to see the fruit and the results that you want. I'm trying to convince everyone that's listening today that the best way to go about it is to say yes to the revealed will of God and say yes to the specific will of God. If we reject the Bible as our ultimate authority, we will fall and for the ventriloquism of the enemy, where he may make his voice sound like God's voice, but it won't be God's voice. And we won't know it if we're biblically illiterate. One of the things that is so important for believers in our Bible study is we begin to recognize the voice of the Lord, not just by the frequency, the range of his voice, what his voice sounds like, but also due to the content of his voice, the inflection of his voice. And so we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. There are a lot of people. Let me put it to you this way. Do you realize that Paul at one time thought he was representing God well until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus said, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And you know what Paul said? "Who are you, Lord?" He thought he was exactly where he was supposed to be, and in the meantime, the revelation that Paul had there on the road to Damascus, his name was still Saul at that point in time, was, "I don't even recognize the voice of God." So he basically had to have somebody that came in and retrained him, renewed his mind to where he began to understand the will of God for his life, to walk in love. By the way, Paul is the one who wrote this book. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. Walk in wisdom. Understand what the will of the Lord is. So people many times come and say, "Well, what's the will of God in this situation?" And if I can throw that out to you, that's okay for a babe in Christ. But the ultimate goal is for you to be able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, and others to be able to confirm this is the voice of the Lord. You know, when I'm in my prayer time, my study time, and all of a sudden I have a thought that I've never heard before. I've never seen anybody point this out before. Anytime there is, quote unquote, some new revelation, I go to the Lord and pray. I go to the Word and I study. But one of the other things that I do is I have some very, very godly friends. And I go to them and I say, I just want to make sure that I'm not falling for a heresy here. The Bereans, they were considered more upright than the Thessalonians because the things that they heard from Paul, they said, you know what, let's go and let's confirm this with the Word. There was something that became very popular in churches a few decades ago, and I'll be honest with you, it was when it was going on. There was nothing harmful about it. It was just something new. I had never seen it before, and rather than just accept it, I said, God, I want to know, what does your Word have to say about this? And the great thing about it was, when I got into His Word, I saw some principles in God's Word that were life-changing for me. I didn't necessarily fall in line with everything that other people were doing, but it brought me to a place of greater understanding of what the will of the Lord is in that situation. If you and I will come to the place where we understand what God's will is as far as what the Word of God has to say, it'll be a whole lot easier to discern what God's specific will is for an individual circumstance, because we will have learned to hear His voice. We will have learned how the content of His voice, and we will be able to understand that when God says, this is the way, walk in it, we'll know that's the best path for us to go. Too many times we're like those toddlers. Well, I'm not moving until I get an explanation. You know, the truth of the matter is, you might not have time for the explanation right then. The explanation may come after the obedience. I believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to have a whole lot better understanding of God's interaction in our life and the things that He protected from us from than we do right now. Understand what the will of the Lord is. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.